This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, Carm Capriato here, the Automotive Podcast Guy. Hey, how you doing? Thanks for tuning in for another episode on Remarkable Results Radio. We're in episode 644 with shop owner Justin Barrett. Justin is the owner of Barrett Automotive and has been trying to pack up his toolbox in the shop for good for the last 11 years. How many other owners out there have trouble leaving the bays? Now, the temptation is to default to being a technician. You were always the most comfortable in that role, or even to help your team cover the overload. But when you're a business owner, you've got to hang that hat up and put on a different one. Justin shares his struggle. Thanks to our great sponsors, Apex and Shopware, for making this episode possible. Now imagine this, a simulated real-world shop environment with 8 service bays, lifts, and vehicles, allowing you to see product demos and talk capabilities, benefits, and how to use these great tools in real time. Well, welcome to the new Joe's Garage at Apex 2021, November 2nd through the 4th in Las Vegas. I'll be there. I hope to see you. Visit AAPEXShow.com for more information. Hey, let's face it, technicians are your inventory of time, and it's the only inventory that expires every minute of every day. Maximize sales and speed to get the cars moving through your business faster. Learn more on the web at GetShopware.com. Hey, did you know we've got live shows every single week? Head to my YouTube channel and search Carm Capriato to catch up. And the key talking points for all episodes reside on my website, remarkableresults.biz. Hey, a warm welcome to Justin Barrett from Barrett Automotive, Cornelia, Georgia. Hi, man.
How you doing, Carm?
I am great. Hey, thanks for being on the show again. You've been on a few times. Thank you. And one of the shows you did a while back, actually, it was July of 2019. It was a For the Record, and you talked about how you closed your shop and took everyone to Vision.
Oh, yeah. Has it been that long?
That's how long that one was. And then we did one earlier, 2019, when you and Tony and Brett came on, and it was a millennial shop owner episode. Remember that?
Yes, sir.
I find your story today very, very fascinating, but ever since we booked this episode to talk about you moving into the bays and then you moving out of the bays, and there was this, things happened. I mean, life happens, right? and all of a sudden, oh, I don't have this tech, and I was going to hire that tech, and I wasn't sure about this. So I want this episode to be this kind of real life. If it happened to Justin Barrett, it could happen to just about anyone. And so the whole impetus was this, was Justin Barrett was going to take his toolbox home. Finally, after all these years in business, you were going to take that toolbox home. And unfortunately, it didn't happen.
It did not happen as planned. That's okay. Stuff happens. We thought we had a A-level tech slated to come in and fill the bay. I had a spot where we rearranged the shop where he was going to set his bots. And I told the other guys, hey, look, as soon as we unload his bots, I'm loading my bots up and taking it home. I need to be focused on the business. And when my bots is out here, it's too easy to grab a work order and go to work, especially whenever we're as busy as we have been this year. I feel like I'm constantly in the need.
Let's put things in focus. How many years you've been open?
We've been open 11 years now.
Okay, the box has been there 11 years. So
yes.
You got to a point somehow in your life where you said, I need to work on the business, not in the business. And then you had to jump back in because you were so busy. I mean, good thing was you were busy. Booked out, what, 3 weeks?
Yeah, you know, about 3 weeks, which, you know, hearing a lot of shops all around the country echo the same story. And we got 4 guys in the shop, 2 really good techs. I would say we got, you know, a C-level tech who's been with us about a year full time. He worked part time when he was going through technical school, and he's just now kind of getting his legs under him. And then we got a general service tech who handles all of our light work, oil changes, inspections, things like that. But whenever we got 3 weeks behind, I had to make a decision because they were begging me to jump back in and help them get caught up. I had to make a decision. Okay, the money is there, the work is there. I can either put all my office stuff and business stuff on hold and not the workout, let's have a record month. And I made a deal with the service advisors. Okay, I'll do this for 2 weeks to get us caught up. After that, I'm done. And 2 weeks turned into 6 weeks because they kept scheduling me work. And a mutual friend of ours, Mike Barrett, I remember talking to him about it. And I was so proud of how many hours I was turning after not being in the shop for a while. And he said, well, congratulations, but be careful. And I was like, what's he talking about? He said, you're going to get stuck back there.
You told me my best day was 19.2 hours. Ha ha, I'm bragging. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and that, you know, that used to be a little easier to do, but I guess I've been in the office a little too long where I was getting rusty. But about the second weekend, I started getting the rust knocked off and was getting back in the groove. So it felt good, and I was proud of myself, but Mike was right.
So look at, you were, there's a couple of reasons. Listen, you needed to go in and catch up, quote unquote, catch up. And that's a relative term to your world, your situation, what you needed to do. You made an entrepreneurial decision to do that. But you also told me that you had some issues where the hours really weren't getting done.
Yes, we've had some production issues in the shop. We got one guy who always kills it. He's the workhorse of the shop. But then the other guys never seem to be able to hit, you know, 40, 50 hours. I got one guy who, you know, I expect between 40 and 50 hours for his skill level and where he's at. And then the other guys just aren't performing at the level I think they need to be at. And every time we would discuss this, it seemed like they were making excuses about why they couldn't. And they just didn't feel like it was possible to even be done what I was asking. And I kept telling them, you know, I'm not going to ask you to do something if it's not possible. Not only was it a good opportunity to get in the shop and get the work done, but it was also a good opportunity to work hand in hand with these younger guys and show them, hey, look, this is my thought process as I'm pulling the car in the shop. You know, you kind of triaging, you know, the vehicle, making quick decisions, you know, planning your work. Don't just look at a work order, grab the first line item, assess all the jobs, see if there's any jobs that are going to overlap, any jobs that you can combine. You know, sometimes these work orders might have three different flushes on them. Might have a coolant flush, might have a brake flush, might have a BG MOA EPR service on there. You know, so why not put the coolant cleaner in the coolant? Why not go ahead and put the EPR in the engine, let the vehicle run, do your brake flush while it's running? You're essentially knocking out three services at once. And they was like, you know what? I never even thought of that.
So I'm sitting here like I think a thousand other people that are listening to this saying, Carm, ask this next very important question. So while you were doing all of this and showing all of this, did you write the SOP?
I did not. You know, this is something that that we have gone back and thought of how to write. We got a couple processes for the shop, kind of general outlined, very broad processes. But I do need to go back and fine tune those to be more specific. But here was the problem with me being in the shop. You don't think about that stuff when you're in the shop.
Two very honest, transparent answers. No, I didn't. But then you don't think about it when you're in there because you're teaching, yet you walked away with, oh, my God, wow, that's common sense. We should be doing that. Bing. You know, it goes off is I got to go home and write this down because I got to create the SOP manual so that when I'm not there and I'm in the office running the business, I have confidence that they're going to do the job.
Yeah, so that was kind of the double-edged sword of being back there. Yes, we're getting the work done. I'm getting the hands-on with the guys that they desperately need this, someone who's been in the bays to work with them, kind of show them the ropes a little bit, give them that little bit of knowledge that they didn't have and they need. The downside of that is you're in the shop doing all that, so you lose your focus on the other stuff. A little side note that I'm not very proud of during that moment. It's kind of funny because I got it straightened up now, but I asked my wife if she would take over the bill pay, and I'm going to try to say this quietly because I think she's in the front and I don't want her to hear. But I asked her to take over the bill pay because I was already behind. And I said, look, there's the spreadsheet with all the stuff on it. Just got to go through and pay. Well, she didn't go through and pay, and I got a notice of cancellation for a few. I think the garage owner's policy, I got a notice of cancellation if it wasn't paid. And I said, oh my goodness, what in the world's going on? So I had to hurry up, get some stuff caught up. But, you know, that's it's funny looking back at it now. I didn't let no insurance policies lapse, but they did send a letter and say, hey, we need payment right now.
Yes, not inspecting what you expect, I guess. I have a very similar story. I'd like you to do this job, and then they do this job, and it wasn't to your expectations, so you did it. You didn't teach anyone how to do it. You just did it. And then the next time you say, hey, would you do this? And they say, you know, they're conditioned to say, well, why should I do it? He's going to do it anyway. He's not going to like what I'm doing. And so, to your point, you're showing the team how things should be done, but I think there's a teaching moment there, at least in my mind, in saying, listen, when I remove myself from this environment, you will continue to do it like this, right, team? Oh, in fact, by the way, I'm going to go and write it down, and this is going to be, you know, SOP. You had a successful business while you were in the Bays, and then you just moved yourself out, and through osmosis, Justin Barrett thought it would all run just like he used to run it.
Yes.
this is a great story. There's thousands, there's 20,000 people out there that can relate to this.
You know, one of the things that I learned going through that process was maybe the office processes that I thought were pretty good, that I thought everyone was clear on, like the bill pay. You know, I thought, you know, I had a spreadsheet, I had dates that needed to be paid, but I didn't have how to pay them on there, which was the issue. And I asked, why didn't you just come and ask me? I'd have told you. Well, I just didn't. You were busy in the shop, so I didn't even think about it.
Hey, Carm here. And coming up, Justin has an interesting story about a customer that has turned into a future technician prospect. Hey, imagine being able to see new product, tools, and equipment demos in a simulated real-world shop environment, complete with 8 service bays, lifts, vehicles, and a service counter. And in the same time, being able to have face-to-face communication with representatives of leading companies to ask questions and talk product capabilities, benefits, and utilization. That's what awaits you in the new Joe's Garage at Apex 2021, November 2nd through the 4th in Las Vegas. It's early in the planning stages, but already big names have reserved bays in Joe's Garage, including Autel, BG Products, Bosch, Coates, Hunter Engineering Company, and Napa Auto Care. Watch for additional companies to participate in the coming months and an official schedule of demos in the summer. Joe's Garage is part of the new Repair Shop HQ. It's an area dedicated specifically to service and repair, and it's located on Level 1 of the Sands Expo. Visit aapexshow.com for more info. Are you stuck in small ticket rut? Well, that's exactly what happened to Dominic Linden and the team at Autobahn Service in Sheffield, Massachusetts. With the busy day-to-day bustle of shop operations, they didn't have time to chase customers for approval. They were caught in a cycle of low AROs, and they were losing those higher ticket jobs to competitors. Autobahn Service was introduced to Shopware, and just a few months after going live, the shop was so busy with new jobs that they actually needed to lower their car count. They are now able to be selective with the services they take on, and profits have never been better. Additionally, by tapping into Shopware's digital estimating capabilities, Autobahn Service has noticed an 89% average approval rate from customers. Their average RO before Shopware was $450, and now it's up to $700. Now that's a 55% increase. Do the math. Reach your customers faster and get approved dollars up. GetShopware.com. I have to title this episode, I think, Great Growing Pains.
Oh yeah, it was a great experience. You know, I had fun. You know, the first couple of weeks in the shop was fun because it had got me out of the office, which I naturally like being in the shop. You know, taking stuff apart, putting it together, all the stuff that got me in the business in the first place. After about, you know, that third week, I was like, okay, I'm feeling the stuff I'm behind on. This isn't fun anymore. This is back like a job. I need to figure this out. And it took another 3 weeks before I finally had enough. And I told the service advisors, look, you can schedule me as much work as you want, as long as you don't plan on it getting done. I got to go back to doing my job because, we're taking a hit in these other areas with me being back here. There's no one that can do my job. So they finally quit scheduling me work, and we've let the other guys handle it, and they've been doing great so far. Back to, we thought we had a tech hired. That was our solution to get me out of the shop, was to hire a tech. And I had this tech who wanted to come to work. He'd been begging me for probably the better part of, 4 or 5 months about coming on board. We'd gone to lunch, and I told him, I don't really have a spot now, but as soon as I get a spot open, I'll be more than happy to call you and see if you're still interested. So I called him, and he said, "Oh yeah, definitely. I want to come." And so we worked out the deal. Shook hands. He took his employment packet, filled it out, brought it back. We had a start date set, which was last Monday. And the Friday before he was supposed to start, he sent me a text message, and I got that feeling in my gut, like, uh-oh. Nobody wants to lose good techs. And the dealership he was at, really started pushing hard. So I kept trying to save it. I called him and was like, what is the issue? What are you feeling? How's it going? And I thought I had it saved on Friday. And he said, well, I'm going to load my toolbox up Monday morning, but, they want me to come in for one last meeting to figure out, what exactly happened. And I said, okay, we got it saved. He's going to be here on Monday. Well, he showed up, Monday before lunch to let me know. He did show up in person to let me know that he had made the decision after talking with them that he was going to be staying where he was at, which is a little bit of a blow. But it is what it is. This is, that's the way the business goes. We will survive. The funny part about the story is I decided to keep my bots in the bays for now, just in case, which I know there's probably some people out there saying, no, you just need to go ahead and get it home because you'll always be the safety net. But that same week, we had a customer. I don't know if I told you this. We had a customer bring his BMW in the shop. I don't remember which model it was, or it was a fairly late model. Wanted us to evacuate the refrigerant so he could replace the compressor. So we evacuated it. He took the vehicle and was back to the shop within an hour and a half time. Wow. So I looked it up. It was I think it was 3.6 hours to replace the compressor. I said, wow, that's pretty impressive. And the service advisor had already picked up on it. So he was in there talking to him about, what kind of experience do you have? That's usually a pretty tough one. You knocked that one out really quick. And he'd been working on, BMWs and things since he was 14. He said, and he's 29. He's just never really worked in a professional setting. He said he wanted to, but no one ever gave him the chance. So I give him an application. He filled it out, brought it back the next day. I set him down for an interview. And I said, we got a spot open. I said, I'm not sure about, your skill level because you've never worked in a shop. And he said, I understand. And I said, you may not even really like working in a professional shop. You may enjoy it more as a hobby. He said, I know, I think I'd really like working on it in a professional shop doing this for a living. And I said, well, would you be willing to come in and work for a week and a half on a trial basis just to see if you like it and let's see what kind of skills you have? He said, that would be great. So he started yesterday. So he brought his vehicle in for an evac and recharge on Friday. And here it is on Thursday. He's in the shop working with our lead tech.
Well, you turned a customer into an employee that you hope can stick around, but I can't help but think that he should go into an apprentice program.
Yeah, that's probably what we're going to look at doing. I've been hearing a lot on your show about the apprentice programs, and I've been looking how to implement one of those. I think me and Joe Hansen has talked about this before, implementing an apprentice program, something that's actually structured correctly. So that is on the radar. That is something that I'm looking at.
There's a lot of associations. There's a lot of suppliers that have full-blown, structured programs, Department of Labor approved. I'd be more than happy to share with you some names and some sites to go to because in my mind, example, there was a up at McNeil's, they just graduated their fourth apprentice in the NAPA program, by the way, and he was a pharmacy tech, and he's like in his early 30s. He changed careers, went through the two-year program, and now he's a full-fledged three ASE holding certificates. And I think it's so cool to look at an opportunity like this, Justin. You know, in the next week or two, you'll find out what his work ethic is and all that great stuff. Customer to tech in a few days. Interesting. Wow.
It's funny how all that turned out. Now, you know, we was after someone that had diagnostic ability, would be able to hit the ground running as soon as he come in. But, you know, you talk to a lot of people in the industry, and I know a lot of people in the industry, and, you know, it's just hard, really hard to land those guys. You know, they're usually pretty happy where they're at. And, you know, with the gentleman that we was talking to, he thought he wasn't happy until it got time to move the bots. And I guess either the nervousness of change or, you know, something happened, or either they made him a really, really good deal to keep him for a little bit longer. Maybe it just wasn't painful enough for him yet, but we really got to learn. And this is one thing that I think we have been doing well without, and I think we'll do it better once we get an established apprenticeship program, but getting young guys and develop them. You know, it can be a painful couple years, but once you get them through it, it's great.
I hear you. I got a question about that 3-week backup that you had. We're talking to Charlie Marcotte, and he says his business has that, but it worries him to the point where he couldn't take a great customer, in an emergency because he is so backed up. Do you feel that the same way?
Oh yes, yeah. It gets me nervous when we get that way. And, you know, I tell Jason and Nicole on the front, you know, I know we're 3 weeks behind and I feel like you guys are putting the brakes on. And I could tell last week that they've really pumped the brakes and slowed it down. We still have plenty of backup, but the cars coming in felt like they slowed down a little bit. So I told them, I said, look, you know, you can't really pump the brakes. You want to be honest with the customers and let them know. I said, but the main thing is if we can get the cars in, get them diagnosed and inspected, and at least get the customers an answer, you know, within a day or two, they're willing to accept the fact that it may be, you know, a week and a half or 2 weeks, depending on the repair that, before it's done. But as long as we can get the car in, get the diagnosis, get the inspection, get the sale completed, we put the customer's mind at peace. They're not having it sit here. So yeah, we're 2-3 weeks behind, but I still tell them, hey, get the appointment, get the car here, and let's at least get the inspection and the diagnosis done, and then we'll figure the rest out later. Whenever we get this far behind, they don't mind putting hours in. So I told them, look, get the cars here, we'll figure it out. You know, when I was in the bays, I was coming in at 5 a.m. and would stay until, you know, 6 or 7 at night to get the work done. And I got, you know, a couple of guys, they never complain. I never even have to ask them to come in early or stay late. If they see that the lot is full and the agenda is full, they just show up. So we have a really good team, and I try to stress that to the advisors. Just, you know, what's the old saying? Load the wagon and worry about the mule. How is that?
Worry about if the mule is going to be able to pull it, right? If not, feed the mule more. I love the idea of the toolbox going home. And if that's a business goal of yours, it's a personal and a business goal, does your entire organization know that and realize that the moves you will be making, including improved productivity, which you're probably going to drive, if you can get the improved productivity out of the way, you could take your toolbox home?
Yeah, they know that that's what I want to do. I'm not very silent about that. I have told them that I've put, this may sound funny because I'm about to turn 34, so I'm still fairly young, I think. But I told them I've put in enough hours in the bay. It's not my passion anymore. I still think it's fun, but, you know, 2 or 3 weeks in the shop and I'm over it. So, you know, the repairing of the cars isn't really a passion of mine anymore, like it was. And I've told them, hey, look, I want to take my tools home. I don't want to work in the bays. I want to provide you guys with a great space to work, the tools to work, and the cars to work on. And that's my mission. That's what I want to do.
I got a question. 34, you're an extremely young man, successful in business, very happy and very proud for you. When your people hear you say, this isn't my passion anymore, are they looking to saying, well, my God, I'm 28, 30, 30, whatever their age is, do they look and say, well, if he doesn't have the passion for this, how can I find it?
I don't think so, because we got one, most of the guys in the shop are in their 20s. We got one gentleman who's a little more seasoned at 47, and we've had this discussion in some of our meetings, like, he don't want to do anything but work in the bays. We've had that discussion. I've kind of made it clear that I've kind of evolved of wanting to repair the cars to more wanting to, I guess, repair the business and focus on the business and make sure that we have a great workplace with great benefits and a great atmosphere. And that's kind of where my passion is right now.
Let's go back to the tech you lost, who stayed at the dealership. You have, of course, got ghosted, you know, through texting. And then he was kind enough to at least come personally and tell you that. I mean, that's a classy thing to tell you face to face that he wasn't coming on board. So he didn't burn the bridge. And obviously you don't feel he burnt the bridge, but you knew you were in a challenge, tug of war kind of thing, right?
Yeah, we was. And, you know, I tried, even when he was in the office and me and him were talking and he was telling me about the stuff that, you know, went on in the meeting with the owner of the dealership. And he was concerned I was upset with him or disappointed in him. And I told him, you know, I'm not upset with you. You know, it's fine. It's something may happen in 6 months where, you know, things still don't turn out the way that you're hoping they turn out. And I said, you're more than welcome to call me. And if we have a spot open, you know, we can go from there. I said, but the spot may be filled, but you know, if something changes, I want you to give me a call because, you know, this could be a good home for you.
Always be recruiting. Now, in the case of the tech that you lost and in the case of the people inside your business, do any of them know someone that they could recommend?
You know, I tried to get the guys to go out and look for some people they know, people they met in training and things like that. And, you know, they did make calls when we were looking, just couldn't get no one that was willing to make a change.
Do your techs have business cards?
They do not.
The reason that I bring it up, again, I've heard some guys say, listen, because we're always recruiting, people are out, here's my card, call me anytime. And it's not like that business card would be, he's looking for a job, so he's giving it to other shop owners. No, he's looking to, you know, he's got a great place to work, a great culture, a really good, you know, team, and a great boss. Why wouldn't he want to be giving his card away? Hey, we're looking for great people. And it seems kind of a cool thing to be able to have a business card. Well, what great lessons. These are things, Justin, I think you can agree with this, that happens thousands of times a week around our industry, right?
Yeah. And, you know, talking to other guys around, you know, around the country, it's funny. You know, we all have different stories, but they're all the same.
I know. Yeah. Different circumstance, same story. I'm so glad you came and shared this. I think there's a lot of great wisdom here. And if not, then someone can go and say, oh, I thought I was the only one that this happened to. That's the same story, different circumstance. Justin Barrett, Barrett Automotive, Cornelia, Georgia. Hey, thanks for your honesty, your transparency, and telling us your great story. And get that toolbox home.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Carm.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.